Ayo, it's Cedro. Holler at the people. 10,000 tacos, yo.
Ayo, they never call me Flaco.
10,000 tacos.
I like mine with cilantro.
10,000 tacos.
Twist the line, get the taco.
10,000 tacos.
Yo, promise I'm Ochada while Isidro talk about it.
It's 10,000 tacos.
Ayo, I probably ate 10,000 tacos. I can still eat 10,000 more though. Yo, yo, they might not call me Flaco, but they sure can call me Gordo.
It's 10,000 tacos.
What? What?
10,000 tacos.
What? What?
10,000 tacos. Yo, 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 yo. 10,000 tacos.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to 10,000 Tacos. I'm your host, Isidro Salas. Thank you for joining us on this first episode of 2019. Yes, we are in a new year. So happy new year, everyone. Feliz año nuevo and all that good stuff that comes along. 2019, it's crazy. I mean, if you're listening to this, come on, it just, Jesus, it's a great feeling to be around for another year. We started the podcast in 2017, went through 2018, and now we're starting off with another episode, and it's another year. Ah, it feels great. So welcome to the show, everyone. I hope that everyone is not hungover and that the menudo you're about to have to get your bearings back from the cruda that you're experiencing is going to work out. But anyway, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. Let's move on with the episode. And what other way to get started than to talk about one of my favorite things in the world, besides tacos? But it's closely related. I mean, it is right there. When you think about tacos, you think about its twin. No, I guess you can't. It's not a twin because they're not always together. So I'm going to have to rephrase that. But it is synonymous with tacos. What I'm talking about here is chile. 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 I'm not talking about the country, Chile. Though Santiago, the capital of Chile, is a lovely place to visit. I had the fortune of going there a couple of years ago, and oh man, the people are beautiful. The city is awesome. So much history there, and just the food, the environment, it was really cool. I went to Santiago for about 4 days, and then I went 2 hours south into the wine country, and I had a blast. Great, great time. But we're not going to be talking about Chile, the country. We're talking about the pepper. The chile pepper. I grew up eating chile. I can't tell you exactly when it was that I took my first bite and my mouth felt like fire. I can't remember. I really can't. All I know is that I cannot remember a time when I did not eat chile. That's how long it's been. I've always known myself to know to have chile. Chile is part of my life. Like tacos, I cannot see my life without having chile on the side. Did you get that last part? On the side. Yes, on the side. It does not escape my head when I hear people say that they don't like Mexican food because it's too spicy. They cannot eat that type of food because it's too hot. Even worse, some people will never try it because they believe it to be true.
Why would I want to burn my mouth?
They say.
No, thank you.
Kind of sad. But just like those who believe Taco Bell is the best Mexican food out there, there is little you can do to convince them otherwise. That's why we created this podcast. I'm just kidding. No, we created this podcast for other reasons. But hey, help educate people on what Mexican food is and how it's not the Taco Bell or the Chili's of the world, not a franchise, then it helps. But getting back to it, Mexican food on its own is not spicy. A lot of people are surprised by that. When I tell them that by itself, Mexican food is not spicy. Yes, even some of the most popular dishes that bear the name, they're not spicy. Let's take a chile relleno, for example. The chile relleno is traditionally made with a poblano chile. Sure, you can make a chile relleno with a large jalapeño, serve it to an unsuspecting customer, and watch his or her reaction once they bite into it. It won't be pleasant. Might be a little bit funny, but it won't help you out on your Yelp reviews. I know that for a fact. But for the most part, a traditional chile relleno is not spicy. Even the salsa that goes accompanied with it, it's tomato-based. It's not spicy. Another example is enchiladas. Yes, you see the red sauce it's made with, and if you're a first-timer, you might be frightened, but the enchilada sauce is not traditionally spicy. Even though the word enchilada insinuates spiced, like as in, I got spiced, if that makes any sense, because in Spanish, me di, for example, if somebody said, me di una enchilada, it's pretty freaking hot. That's what sort of means. So why do I love chile so much? Today on the episode, we dive a little bit deeper into this question. And in doing so, I tell you a little bit about my personality, my perspective, and my home. We begin with a, excuse me, man, just thinking about it makes me remember. As long as I can remember, chile has been a part of my life. Literally, it was part of the air we used to breathe. Yes, brief. You see, there's nothing more important in my mom's kitchen then a stove, a blender, and chiles. The dry ones, the chiles secos to be exact. If you want to take my mom's soul away from her, you have to start with one of those three things that I just mentioned. Again, as long as I could remember coming home from school every day when I was young, I'd walk into the house and the first breath that I'd take, immediately I'd start to cough. I mean, damn, sometimes uncontrollably. And within seconds, my throat would get clogged up and I would start coughing. Just, man, and that was pretty normal, right? Why? Because the first thing my mother would do when preparing her salsa, her chile, was to put the chiles secos, over a flame, a fire, right? And just for a few seconds. And that smoke that would come out of the chiles would eventually accumulate and engulf not just the kitchen, but the living room too. And this would happen almost every day. Yes, as hard as it is to believe, this was almost like an everyday thing. Remember, from earlier episodes, if you've been following the show, in the beginning years of having a catering truck, the taco truck, the food truck, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to try to refer to it again as a catering truck. That's what we used to call it. But anyway, we would make all the food from our home. In Chile, la salsa, I'm going to be using them interchangeably, Chile and la salsa. But anyway, the Chile was a must-have, meaning our customers loved this salsa. We used to put it in these little packets, so these little cups with a lid. And because it was so popular, my mom would worry about running out. Like, she would worry that we would run out. So she'd make a lot of this stuff. I mean, she would make a lot. And she would almost, well, no, she would make even more than what the truck would need. Or so I thought. Well, because she made so much, we always had plenty of salsa in the fridge for us personally. And because I'd see everybody in my family, my dad in particular, my brothers, they would always put salsa in their food. So I thought I should do the same. I thought it was just normal. And that's how salsa became so popular to me as a kid. You know, on a side note, I recently heard a podcast where the host was talking about forming habits and how children, you know, how a lot of these habits start from childhood, obviously at a young age. He mentioned that children don't typically like chile, that when you try to give them chile, they reject it. It's similar to beer. Children hate the taste of beer. That isn't till later in their lives that the magic happens and they start liking chile and these other things like beer. That rule simply didn't resonate with me. Again, as long as I can remember, I've always liked chile. That non-liking chile phase did not apply to me. So for me, from the very beginning, I took liking to chile. Man, it was just, I feel like I was born with it. Not because of the taste, even though it tastes good, but because of its presence. It was so present in my life that I thought it was normal. And like flipping tortillas with your bare hands. Lately, I've been discovering that it was not normal. So then chile, just like the tortillas, we could not leave the house without them or it. When it came to selling food, we needed tortillas, obviously, to make the tacos, but we also wanted tortillas and chile in the house because that was a staple in our home. There was never a moment in which we did not have both tortillas and salsa in the house. Never. There was never a moment. Having chile by my side became a part of my personality. I had to have chile in almost every food sitting. I would hear a lot, you know, whenever I would sit down to eat food, particularly when it was with my friends, "You put chile in everything." And I'd reply, "Yes, even in my Cheerios." Even though that wasn't true, I just thought it sounded funny. But it was sort of true in that I would. If there was chile that I could put in Cheerios, I would. But it was true that food did not taste good to me if it did not have chile in it. That's not to say that food was not good, but to me and to many of my family members, we cannot eat without chile. Eating chile exemplifies how societies sort of work. Bear with me for a second here. Yes, you have economists who base their models on how economies work based on theory. And this theory depends on people behaving rationally. Well, we all know in the real world, people do not behave rationally. So for example, and again, bear with me. Costco shoppers, and if you don't know what Costco is, Costco is this big box store. But, and as a full disclosure, I am one of them. But we, Costco shoppers, in order to get what we want, our Costco fix, if you want to call it, we have to battle the traffic to get to this place. And depending on which Costco you go to, it seems like there's always traffic to get in there. And then once we get there, we spend minutes trying to find the parking space closest to the door. We then have to show our Costco cards to gain entry. I mean, this is a club, so you need to flash your card. And once inside, we have to battle the crowds, other Costco shoppers trying to weave in and out of every aisle. And there is no common traffic pattern here. You would think that, again, rationally, you know, on the right side, you're staying if you're going up, and on the left side, if you're going down. No, there isn't. And then we try to go to the same place to go get the items that we missed on our last trip, right? Well, you know, I'll get that next time. And when you get there next time, those items have been moved. Then you finally find that item along with the 12 other things that you really didn't need, and you're in your basket, and you go down to the cash registers. And once you're in your cash, you find it's like a toll plaza at the Bay Bridge. Ugh. You have to wait another 10 minutes to get through, and you know, and that you're standing in line behind the line that you think is going to go fast, and then you move over to another line because that's going fast, and as soon as you get there, the other line starts speeding up, and it's just a mess, right? So anyway, finally, you pay, and you head towards the doors, only to wait a little more because you have to have your receipt checked. And by the way, do they really, really check everything? I mean, I could have 100 things in my basket, and this person... And then they check it off and they sign off and whatever. Yeah, well, come on, really? Well, anyway, all this and we have to pay to shop there. I mean, it's ridiculous. You don't pay at other places to go shop. But there at Costco, you have to pay them so you could shop there and go through everything I just described. That is not rational. Right? Eating chile is not rational. It's the same thing. Despite the coughing, the heartburn, the sweaty face, the itching scalp, the burning mouth, and the throat all swelling up, I still love it. That, my friends, is not rational. Lastly, today, my symptoms tell me not to eat the stuff. But it's hard not to. Because of one thing. Eating chile reminds me of home. Every human being wants to belong. And for many, belonging is closely tied to home. Whatever that home may look like. It's where you want to be. My mother never approved of many of the girls I dated when I was younger. In most of those cases, she was right. And there is value in that. She was right. And then she meets my wife. She instantly knew she was right for me. Instantly. Kind of like when she knew I was a good son the very minute I was born, right? I'm kidding. She didn't know that. She didn't know I was going to be a good son. But anyway, a few years ago, my wife asked my mother to teach her to make salsa. My wife knew how important it was for me to have salsa in the house. So my mom agreed. This, by the way, was one of those signs that she approved of my wife. My mother would have never done this for some of the cochinas. I mean, the girls that I used to date. But my wife was special. She learned to make it, and make it she did. My wife makes chile, the salsa, just as good as how my mother makes it. I don't say this lightly. My mother and most of my family members agree. My wife's salsa is special. It's good. They agree. They all give her the stamp of approval. On a side note, my wife has never tasted her own salsa. Part of that is because she can't eat spicy food. She doesn't know what it tastes like, so she makes it, not tasting it, which is rare. It's a rare skill to have. She relies on how my mother taught her. She follows every single step that my mother taught her to make. I mean, she follows it to the T. If it's not the way my mom taught her to make it, she won't do it that way. I mean, she just follows it to the T. And then she relies on me, or rather my smile when I taste it. Every time she makes salsa, I sort of use the same principles as tasting wine. I swirl it a little bit and then I take a little bit in and let my senses taste everything, what's going on in those few seconds. It really is like that. And then I'm able to tell her whether it needs a little bit more salt or a little bit more cumin or whatever it is that she may need to put on there. But more importantly, every time I get home and I smell the smoke from the chiles and I hear that sound of the blender along with all those spices, I know I'm home. That's why I love Chile. Because it reminds me of home. And like tacos, home is where I want to be. And that is all for this episode of 10,000 Tacos. Thank you very much for being a part of this and giving me some of your time today. Again, Happy New Year. If you're listening to this, thank you, thank you, thank you very much for making us one of the first things that you did this year. But more importantly, for giving us a chance to be in your head, so to speak, right, in your earbuds. We're forever, ever going to be grateful for the time you give us. Thank you for that. I'd like to thank Flobama, Screech Beats, and the rest of Caesar Omega for the theme song. I'd kindly ask that please share the show. If you like the show, please share it with others. We solely depend on people sharing it in order to grow the show. And we need to help us. I'm kindly asking that you help us grow the show by telling others about it or giving us a review, following us on Instagram, on Twitter, and on some of the social media feeds that we have. Once again, thank you very much. Until next time, I'm Isidro Salas, and this is 10,000 Tacos.